Hello, I'm Daniel Weiss, your host, and you are listening to Average to Exceptional podcast. My aim with this podcast is to inspire you, to empower you, so you take the steps necessary to improve your performance, personal and business life, take charge of your health and emotional state, and live a fulfilled life. Ladies and gentlemen, in today's episode, I'm pumped to introduce to you Faith Stenning, who is an elite Spartan pro racer. In 2016, she finished second in the US Championship Series, third at the Spartan World Championships, and managed to hold the number one spot in the global world ranking throughout the whole 2016. But let me tell you something about her. Faye is the perfect person that you want to model if you want to succeed in life. She really is an exceptional person, as you will find out during the podcast, and she is really a pleasure to speak with. During the podcast, we will cover topics such as how she sticks to her training schedule that is not always fun and can be quite tedious. So that is something that many of us can experience, right? You are training and, you know, it can become boring. So the importance of the bigger goal. We also cover the topic of importance of recovery, which is both mental and physical. How she gets leverage on herself during the race. That is so important to get the leverage on yourself. Know how to leverage yourself and be aware of your why you do that, and to be actually able to use that. And then we also cover topics that are more from the life itself, like about the work and fulfillment and how she worked a job that was not fulfilling to her. And the moment that she changed her belief that then we talk also about work and fulfillment and how once she changed her belief that hobby can make her money, and about the work and fulfillment. So ladies and gentlemen, sit back, receive. I hope you will enjoy it as much as I enjoyed speaking with Faye. Grab your coffee, tea, maybe some mushroom, chaga, reishi, or whatever you have. Sit back and really enjoy, because Faye has a message to share with you.
I've been reading some interviews with you, and I found out this piece of information, which was like that you are a very hard worker, right? That you're let me quote it, like face relentless ability to outwork everyone. So I think it is a very good trait to have. So can you tell me where it comes from?
I don't know. I think, like, kind of to be mentally tough at anything, you first, like, have to have a passion for whatever you're working on.
Right.
So I think that I'm lucky because I'm, you know, my job as an obstacle course racer is something I actually would be doing regardless if I was good at it or regardless if it was how I made a living. I'd say I really, really enjoy it. So I'm able to kind of put a lot of effort and a lot of hard work into that. But I think I just, ever since I was raised as like a young kid, I think my parents always taught me that, you know, you have one life, and if you work really, really hard, good things will come to you. And if you don't work hard, if you slack off and are lazy, you're going to go nowhere in life, and you're not going to have a very fulfilling life. So I was put in tons of sports growing up, and all sorts of sports, badminton and tennis and swimming and kickboxing and soccer. And
wow.
I was never really good at a lot of sports, and I remember having to work really, really, really hard to move up in levels and to get better at sports. And so I've always kind of been used to being in a sports setting where I never was naturally good at it. So I always had to, if I wanted to keep up with the rest of the kids, I always had to work harder than everyone. And it really wasn't until I found endurance sports that I really started to do really, really well at them. And I think I was just able to, I had still had that mindset that I had to work really, really, really hard on it. But okay. because I was so naturally talented at it, I had like a lot of success.
So this is exactly, this is great for you because you had these habits built before you found your talents. And maybe if you found this talent for the sport, you would be slacking off, right?
Yeah. Maybe. No, exactly.
Yeah, that's very interesting. But it's also like it all comes, you know, to your childhood and there's something that I identify with, but in my case it was very different. And I had to find like my passion and do these things. So I'm like very stubborn.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you just go for it.
Yeah, I think that's like I think that's definitely a trait that sometimes goes hand in hand with hard work is like being really stubborn. Uh-huh. I've always been stubborn my whole life and kind of not stopping at anything. And I've always sort of pushed through. And if I want to do something, no matter if it takes me 10 times longer than the average person, I'm going to get it done. So I've always had that stubborn attitude.
Yeah, that's great. That's very great because what I see, you know, young people nowadays that it's, they don't have this perseverance, like they want the results very fast.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. I see that too. It's like everything nowadays to kids and everything has to come instantaneously. And if it doesn't come right away, it's like they have a short attention span or they just, don't have the perseverance and then they give up. And I think we're going to, you know, and if you keep up with that attitude, you're just never going to be successful at everything because there's always going to be someone who hangs on a bit longer and who will be able to kind of outwork you and who will be able to kind of do better than you and excel, and you'll kind of be left in the dust.
Exactly. So do you have any kind of mental preparation or how you train yourself mentally now, like besides what you have already learned through sports and from your childhood?
Yeah. I think like for me is like, obviously training is really, really hard, especially as like being an endurance sport. You know, it's not like we're playing games all day and doing fun drills and working on skills. A lot of like my training is very like unglamorous and it's just literally running miles after miles and climbing up mountains and in the weight room. And it can get very boring and it can get very tedious, but I just try and remind myself that although in the moment it may seem like a really long, overwhelming period to train, kind of in the whole day and in the whole week and in your whole month of your whatever life, it's really not that long. So I think like the perception of time and knowing that whether it's a workout or a race, it's really going to be over within a few hours, just being able to understand that that's really not that long. And being able to push through has like really helped me. So I try and just remind myself that, you know, there's 24 hours in a day. And if I have to train for 5 of them, that's, you know, only 20% or whatever of the day. So it's not the end of the world. But I also, before I race and compete, I like to kind of get rid of all this mental stress. So I like to sort of surround myself with really positive people. And I like to make sure I'm getting a good amount of sleep. And I really like to give my mind like a bit of a mental break. Just so I can almost save all that mental toughness and all that mental energy for the race. So I like to really almost kind of baby myself and take really good care of myself so that I have that fight and that push for the race. And I'm not kind of using up all my mental strength in the week leading up to the race.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm very happy that you mentioned this. And as you were talking about it, it came to my mind, like how all these different parts of our life come like pieces of puzzles together, you know. So for example, when you surround yourself with the wrong people, it will negatively impact your training and your performance and everything because it just drains your mental energy. And this counts like to really everything. So I'm really happy that you mentioned also these things. So, yeah. And do you also use meditation or anything like that?
Yeah, so I do a style of yoga, like restorative or yin yoga. So that's kind of where I get my meditation from. So the style of yoga I do is like you're in a pose and you're just laying there holding the pose for, you know, 5 minutes or so. And you're trying to like not tighten up your muscles and just let everything kind of melt. And while I'm in those poses for 5 minutes or sometimes even longer, I really try and just meditate a bit. For me, it's like it's visualization of the race, but not of every little detail of the race,
right?
Just how the race is going to feel and kind of visualizing like when it's going to start to get uncomfortable and when it's going to start to hurt and how I'm going to overcome that. So, sort of things that I'm going to tell myself in the race or an attitude that I'm going to have or even like a tactic that's going to take my mind off maybe the discomfort and kind of allow me to kind of go to a sort of like an outside body experience and just really push through. But almost you want to be a little bit like unconscious of sort of what you're doing. And I think that that's important in endurance running. You can't go on the course and feel every ounce of discomfort and every ounce of pain. You got to kind of come out of that experience and be a bit more like in an unconscious state and just kind of I know they call it in a lot of like sports psychology books that are like, it's called the flow and you're just kind of moving and pushing on and pushing harder and harder, but you're not obsessing about every little detail and how you're feeling in every exact moment.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you actually push yourself like during the course when you have like the dark moments or when you are in the dark place?
I try and just sort of remind myself that although this may be, you know, you're in a 2 hour race and maybe the last half an hour or even the last hour at times is really, really uncomfortable. I just try and remind myself that again, it's such a small segment of time. It's an hour, it's 2 hours. It's not a whole day. It's not a whole week. And I just try and remind myself that if I'm not pushing myself for that hour or that 2 hours, it's really getting rid of all the hard work I've put in. It's really disregarding the months and the weeks and the long runs and the tempo runs and all this work that I've done, because really the race is kind of the test and I look at all the training and everything is my studying. And, why throw away all those weeks and all those months of really, really hard work? Because in a split second, you decide to not push hard. So, right. I try and remind myself that. And then I also just try and remind myself that if I'm not pushing hard at the finish line, you're not going to feel nearly as fulfilled. And it's going to be a really hard day to talk to everyone after the race. And you're just going to feel like you gave up and you're not going to feel happy for probably, I know for myself, if I have a bad race where I just don't push myself, I just make that decision to just sort of ease off. I know that disappointment's going to last a few weeks, even a month after the race. And I just remind myself that I don't want to have to deal with that. It's so much easier to make the decision to just push hard for this hour and be satisfied for weeks after instead of the reverse.
Yeah, it seems like you found yourself a leverage. What works for you, which is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone's level of pushing hard in a race can be totally different. I don't think that everyone needs to push maybe as hard as I do.
Yeah, it's relative.
Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah, it's relative to the person.
It's all relative. And I think that someone's pushing could be, I'm going to push myself to run this whole course and not walk. That could be someone's level of push. I mean, mine is a little bit different because this is how I'm making a living. So it needs to be at a higher intensity, but it is all relative. And I think that, making a goal that's realistic is really important, because if it's an unrealistic goal, you might just totally be so defeated that you feel like you can't push at all, because this goal is so is so out of this world and it's so unrealistic.
Exactly. So what is actually your goal? What is actually your why? Why you do that? Because, you know, if your why is not compelling enough and realistic also, then people just drop it, you know, after some time. So it's, for you, it's been a long time, and I see that's something that the sports in general is part of your life, and that you have a strong why, you have sort of strong perseverance, grit coaching, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, I mean, if you decide to do any sort of sport, I mean, you have to enjoy it is always number one. But, you know, you shouldn't need to find a reason why you're doing it. You should sort of just know that reason. And I think with Spartan racing, people do it for a variety of different reasons, and obstacle course racing in general. And one of the biggest reasons I do it, right, what I'm realizing right now is, you know, I'm not having a hugely successful year this year. I think I was doing it. I had a bit more success last year, and it hasn't changed my passion for the sport at all. And I think that's because for me, it's not so much a sport. It's a really much a lifestyle. And, I like the lifestyle that racing gives me. I like that my weekends are full of seeing different places, and my weekends are full of meeting different people. And, I get really blue when I'm not at a race on the weekend, because the weekend just feels so, so dull and so boring. You're just kind of going to restaurants and, uh-huh, you know, going out with friends, but you're not in this really positive environment. So I'm almost addicted to the environment and the community and the positivity of it all, that, I just feel like it's kind of where I belong. It's where my personality belongs, and it's where most of my best friends do this sport. So naturally it's, my why is really simple. Like, I just can't imagine like a different life for me right now.
Yeah, so that basically, as far as I understand, or as far as I know, you also left your job recently, right? And you started your coaching business.
Yeah, so I left my job recently. I was just getting a lot of, like, a lot of people were saying I was such an inspiration, and that people wanted to be coached by me, and I was, you know, got closed some really great sponsorship opportunities, and I just felt like it was just sort of a sign. Like, I was handed all these great opportunities, and I kind of had two choices. I could kind of continue working at my job and kind of do half of what I wanted with obstacle course racing, or I could go all in. And I think just hearing the support from kind of my fans and the OCR community, and how much people follow me on Instagram and want workouts from me and want to be coached by me, was like the final push that I needed to kind of go out on my own and start a business. And, I mean, it's the most fulfilling. I mean, obstacle course racing is very fulfilling, but it's really, it's kind of a selfish thing. Like, I do it for myself, and I like to win races, and I train so I do better. And it's sort of about me. Whereas it's really nice to have the polar opposite of that, which is coaching, which is I coach. I mean, it's not a huge amount of money that I'm making coaching, and it is a lot of my personal time, but I find it's really fulfilling, because it's not a selfish thing. Training and racing can be really selfish, and it's nice to kind of do something for someone else and focus on someone else other than myself during the day. So I really like the chance for me to sort of stop thinking about me and my goals and focus on someone else. And it's hugely rewarding when I see my athletes racing and doing well. So it's been a great job so far.
I love to hear that, dude. Like, your words really touched me. So, I mean, good luck with the coaching business or whatever business you end up in. What was actually your work before?
Yeah, so I was in supply chain management. So I was doing kind of contracts for a big oil and gas company, which is, I mean, it's really hard being in a job that you can't really relate to. Like, I didn't really understand the work that I was doing, how it related to the bigger picture, which was really challenging. And I didn't a lot of times see that bigger picture. So it was really hard to want to push harder, want to do a really good job and motivate myself in my job because I didn't really understand how it was making any sort of situation better. I just kind of felt like I was pushing paper around. And that was challenging. The only thing that was satisfying about my job is I made like a good amount of money that I could afford to fly to the States and do all this international travel to races. And that almost became my motivation to get up every morning and go to work, because my motivation to go to my job was I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to work so I can cash this paycheck and so I can go to a Spartan race. So that almost became my motivation for work, not so much the work itself and not so much the company and what we were doing.
Exactly. So it was very easy for you. And as you already mentioned, it's much more fulfilling what you do now also for less money.
Yeah, and it's really crazy because I come from a family, like everyone has kind of professional jobs and this whole idea of do what you love and you'll be successful and follow your dreams. Like, I didn't really believe any of that. Like, I was just like, I was kind of under the mindset, like, yeah, follow your dreams, but how are you going to make money? And like, a dream is a dream and like, a hobby is a hobby, but you can't make money from your hobby. And I was so set on just a job as a job. And it's really crazy that like I actually did follow my dream and that my dream actually makes me money now, because that's something that I just kind of thought was a bunch of, excuse my language, but a bunch of horseshit. So I'm really lucky that it worked out for me. And I think that I would never say this a year ago, but I think it can work out for most people. And I think that just having that stubborn attitude and just sort of being really having the ability to like fail at something and then keep pushing. And then the moment that you want to give up is usually the moment that you're about to succeed. And that's what I kind of remind myself. I mean, I've had a few bad races this year and I just had to keep hopeful that the moment that I want to quit is when I'm going to succeed. So, I think perseverance is kind of everything.
Yes. And as I'm listening to how you speak and the energy that you put into it, yes, people are right. You are a very inspirational person, and I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up like also doing some speaking engagements regarding some inspiration, motivation or something along these lines.
So, no, maybe, thank
you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So maybe this is something in your future, and at the same time, it's
very... Yeah, that would be awesome. It's been, I mean, I try not to think about it too much, but it's like, okay, well, I'm this like obstacle racer now, but you know, I'm 27 and you know, in 5-10 years from now, like what am I going to do? Obviously I'm hoping that this grit coaching takes off, that I'll be able to do that for the rest of my life. But you never know, it's expensive to live, but I would love to do some sort of speaking or something like that. I think it's a skill that I'll probably need to work on a lot, but I want to speak in front of people that actually want to hear though. I used to be a personal trainer and I used to work with kind of like people that were pretty lazy and didn't really want to be in the gym. And that's really draining. That's what I like so much about grit coaching, is I'm working with people that actually want to be there and want to get better, and I'm not having to hugely motivate them. Yes, they like the accountability and that sort of thing, but I'm not having to like be their cheerleader and motivate them day after day, because that's a lot of energy and that's pretty draining when you're working with really lazy people, and I find it really hard. So I'm lucky that the people that I work with, and in the future, whenever if I do get into speaking or more coaching, I want to work with people who are really open and want to hear it and are willing to put in the work, because like they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't drink and make them drink. And, so I'm lucky that I work with such a motivating, type of people.
Yeah, exactly. Like you mentioned, it is about commitment, and when somebody's not committed, then I mean, you cannot commit for themselves. So I mean, you cannot commit only your time, and you can do your part and meet them where they are. And if they are not there yet, if they are not committed, and they don't have this passion or whatever it is for their results, responsibility. They don't take this responsibility. You cannot do it for them. So
yeah.
Well, the best thing you can do is just filter these people, and yeah, like you've been doing, work with people who are committed, who you don't need to make them drink the water.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what is actually your biggest challenge right now? Like,
my biggest challenge?
Speaking in general, I'm really speaking in general right now.
About my challenge in speaking?
No, in general. Maybe it's in speaking, maybe it's in OCR.
I have, like, I mean, like, for me, what I've devoted this whole year, what this whole year has been about for me and my own personal goals, has been to do well at the U.S. Championship Series. And, you know, I'd like to win World Championships one year, Spartan World Championships. So I was third last year. So my whole life has been sort of organized around this one race, and it's coming up here in 5 weeks. So my biggest challenge is really trying to figure out how I can be most prepared for that. And there's always a fine balance of training and versus overtraining. So my biggest challenge is doing enough, but not too much. And really, so that's kind of what I'm faced with every day as a challenge. When I get up in the morning and I'm deciding how I want to train and what I want to do, I constantly have in my mind that end goal and that race, and everything I do is this going to produce a good result or a poor result at World Championships. So, that's my challenge day after day, is just making sure I'm going in the right level and I'm getting fitter with every day, but I'm not getting burnt out and I'm not hurting myself and I'm not getting injured. It may sound like sort of a simple challenge, but, that's been my goal ever since day one when I started obstacle course racing, is I want to be a world champion, and I've got a bronze medal at Spartan World Championships, but it's not a silver and it's not a gold, and I don't really intend on stopping until that happens. So
how do you feel about it right now? Do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself?
I would say right now, I'd say that there's so many strong girls that there's probably six girls right now that could be a world champion in the circuit. And so what it's going to come down to is going to come down to preparation before that race, which really starts kind of now since we're only 5 weeks out. And it's really going to come down to, I think the mental side of things. I think there's very little difference in the fitness. Although we have different strengths and we have different weaknesses, when you kind of put all our strengths and all our weaknesses together, I think there's a very small difference between the fitness level of myself and the other five girls. So I think it's going to come down to the day, who's prepared in the weeks leading up to it, who's not injured, and then really it's going to come down to who wants it more and who's willing to push more in the race, in the actual race. So I think it's not going to be something that's going to be decided leading up to the race and, oh, so-and-so has it in the bag and so-and-so is probably going to win. It's literally going to be made up in those moments on the course when things get hard and who's really willing to dig deeper at that moment. So I'm doing everything I can to make sure that I'm mentally tough enough and I'm mentally strong enough. And I'm most importantly trying to keep kind of the passion alive up into world champs, because as long as I'm happy and I'm passionate, I know I can run better.
Yes, that's completely right. So, very good luck with that. But I don't even like to wish good luck to people, because I don't believe in luck. Because luck is like when preparation meets, you know, opportunity. So you have the opportunity, you are preparing yourself, so we will see.
Yeah, no, exactly. We will see.
And regarding that, what is your, like, do you have any, like, vision for your future? Like, we already spoke about it a little bit, like maybe coaching, maybe something like that.
I'd like to be a coach. I really enjoy coaching. I'd like to be a coach, but a coach for a bunch of different things, not just obstacle course racing. I'd like to be kind of like a lifestyle coach, and I'd like to do a bit of motivational speaking. There's a whole bunch of sort of avenues that I'm thinking about, but I just want to kind of work with people who want to get better, and whether that's in sport, whether that's in obstacle course racing, or whether that's just in their personal life, just making healthy changes or just trying to live a happier life. I think one thing about me is I've always been a really, really happy person, and I've always been good at finding happiness and kind of making stuff happen for me. My friends always say, like, I've got a horseshoe up my ass because I just seem really lucky all the time. And I don't think it's luck. I think that I just, if I'm in a situation where I'm unhappy or not having a good time, I kind of have the courage to sort of make a change and make sure that every day that I get up, like, no day's wasted. And I'd like to sort of push that attitude and that mindset on other people, whether that be in like a speaking setting or a coaching setting. I just like to sort of help people kind of just be happier in general.
I love that. And I see it happening for you already.
Thank you. I hope so.
There are a lot of guys, you know, like, you know, not only in like obstacle course racing, but in general, who like, you know, athletic girls and so on. They have like problems meeting this kind of women. And I believe they made a lot of mistakes regarding that. It's their approach, let's say, or how they speak with them, how they behave towards them. So I don't know, is there anything?
We can talk about that.
Okay, so I think maybe you have had also some experience with that, and I mean, is there anything like you would advise men in this area?
I think that if you're like an athletic guy and you're going after sort of a more athletic girl, I think it's great because you guys are going to have common interests.
Right.
So, you know, it's important to kind of highlight that, and like whether, you know, your first date is something active and, you know, going for a hike or doing whatever. So I would say that that's great because you guys have common interests and you guys can, you know, go on a fun date together and have a good time and you like doing the same things. But on the same side of that is the whole relationship can't be built on training and the whole relationship can't be built on fitness and training and all this. Exactly. Because that's not a relationship, that's a training partner. So I think what makes relationships really successful is when one person can learn from the other person. And I think if both people are huge gym rats and huge fitness buffs, a lot of times, you know, you can butt heads, and a lot of times, you know, it becomes a training partner, and it becomes someone you can do all these things with, but it may, you know, it might lack a bit of intimacy, or it might lack like the fundamental principles of a relationship once you take that activity away. So having activities that you can share is great and it's really important, but at the same time, it can't be everything. There needs to be other foundations like within the relationship that are working alongside just having a common interest.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, yeah, that was basically the only question that I had regarding that. So, like, what was your view on these kind of things? So,
yeah.
Anyway, I don't have any more questions. Doesn't come anything else to my mind. So, maybe do you have any questions for me?
No, I think I'm good. I just want to thank you for having me. It's kind of the main thing I want to say. Yeah, it's been great talking to you. And yeah, I love kind of sharing my story and reaching out to the obstacle course community. And yeah, I just hope that I can inspire people to kind of chase their dreams, because I was never a dream chaser. So it's kind of funny that my dreams came true. But yeah, it's been fun. And for those who haven't signed up for an obstacle course run or race, you're missing out. So sign up.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast with Faye Stenning. It was amazing. I mean, she has a lot of wisdom and a lot of things to share. Her energy is absolutely amazing, and her grit and grit coaching is even better. So here are some show notes that I think, or some points that I found useful or important, and I think they were worth writing down. As I mentioned in the beginning, Faye is definitely a person who you want to model for success. And so let me start. The point number one is perseverance. As Faye said during our podcast, is if I want to do something, no matter if it takes me 10 times longer than the average person, I'm gonna get it done. So this is really something that is of utmost importance. Whatever you are trying to do, if you want to lose weight, if you want to improve your relationships, if you want to improve your mindset, if you are doing anything new, you will need to create a habit. Because the most important thing is how long you can stick with it. In the terms of dieting, for example, many people can stick with the diet, extreme diet, for 1 month, maybe even 2 months. But if you cannot do it forever, for your whole life, I don't suppose it is, it is obviously not sustainable, but it is not the right approach, right? This kind of cutting wherein people cut back and then they get back into their old habits, they do more damage to themselves than good. So for perseverance, you want to attain things and you want to be able to stick with them and do it no matter what. Point number two, being stubborn. And this is a trait that many, many exceptional people share, myself included. So I was really happy to find it out like afterwards. But yeah, no matter what people tell you, and you just continue to go after your dreams, it is very important, because there will be always people doubting you, and really, you should be the last person to doubt yourself. And many times it is actually the opposite, that we are the first to doubt ourselves. But yeah, let that for other people. I keep telling to myself, let other people doubt you. Don't doubt yourself. Let them worry. Don't worry yourself. So be stubborn. Go after your dream. Go after what is important to you. And don't hesitate to go after that. And don't violate your values. Point number three, challenging your beliefs. In Faye's story, it was really amazing, as once she changed her beliefs, great things started happening, right? She did not believe that it was possible for her to earn money by doing what made her happy, that was like obstacle course racing. And she was waking up just for the money, you know. She was missing the fulfillment, she was missing the greater picture or some deeper enjoyment from her work. Her job was there to support her hobby. And once she was signed up to Spartans Pro Race Team as a Pro Race Team member, basically, as she had her passion shine, her hobby turned into her job, right? And now she's doing what she's really excited about. She's racing, she's getting paid for it. And she has a coaching company, so she is even sharing and contributing to the community. And if you check her profile, that will be also linked in description below the podcast in the show notes, she really gives back to community. She is really big on that. She understands how important that is, so don't hesitate to reach out to her. And especially if you want to develop this kind of mindset and this kind of training, she will be definitely able to help you with that. I have no doubts about this. She is exceptional, as you could have heard during our podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it once more, and see you at the next episode. If you liked this podcast, if you resonated with it, with the information that I shared, that my guests share, please share it with people who could benefit. You will help me grow the community and allow me to share the inspiration, and maybe even transfer somebody's lives, maybe even someone's from your close circle you wouldn't even consider. And to stay in touch, you can join my Inner Circle community on Facebook, where I post quite often, or you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, where I share things that I learned throughout the week, and these are from the areas of mind, body, and spirit. So usually I share things, something that I come across regarding nutrition, because that's what I'm really passionate about, because I transformed my life in terms of nutrition and fitness, and I'm really passionate about this stuff. On the other hand, from the also mind perspective, there I share sometimes, you know, like also articles, but things that didn't make it to the blog because they were too short. But there can be tips like how to get up on your schedule, or you know, how to be more productive, or also from dating and relationship areas, which I'm very passionate about. So you can make sure that, you know, that one email that I send a week, that it will be packed with information that are actionable and that you can use in your everyday life. So to stay in touch, just follow the links for the newsletter and for the Facebook group that I share in show notes. And alternatively, I will also let you know my website address if you are listening to this and you don't have access to show notes, and that is danweiss.eu. So once more, danweiss.eu. So see you there, looking forward to have some comments from you, to have a feedback, and see you next time.